Uncensored.
Hey, Justin, who started at quarterback for the Bucs this week?
Oh, it's actually Ryan Fitzpatrick because they benched Jameis Winston.
What?
That's right.
But Jameis Winston, that's my quarterback.
Yeah, I know. We did chant that at the practice, but apparently the Bucs think that Ryan Fitzpatrick gives them a better chance to win now.
Oh, well, I don't know if he's that much magic, but we'll see. In the meantime, I'm going to go right back into this. Speak softly and tell your bench stick. Go Bucs. B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs.
Bucs Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucs fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucs fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else. It's not going to work. We are self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family? You see what we do as a family? I gave him a face, and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucs Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's, and let's do it as a family. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. But I won't answer now. Who, what, where, why? See, a lot of fools like to act the fool. Now I'm being on live, but that ain't my style. Who he gon' get and what he gon' do? Run up on me if you want to. I'm damn pressing his homie. Cut up in front of his mama. I'm up the floor with him. And I can get in the door and let the phone go hit him. I got fools that'll go get him. It's the family crew and the crew that
got hurt. How's everyone feeling? Doing good? Not me. Although I will say, if there was ever a time to come down with the flu, Sunday morning was probably that time. Laid on the couch, slept the majority of the game, slept the majority of the day. Got to see the parts that I needed to see. Slept the rest of Sunday afternoon, all Sunday night, most of the day Monday, all Monday night, and here I am Tuesday. Now I'm recording this before the trade deadline hits. I'll record the first part, And then it's about, I'm recording this just before, so I'll take a little break, wait till the trade deadline comes and goes. That's when you'll hear the break. And then I'll come back with breaking news. Something or nothing happened. And then we'll end it. But first things first. Just disappointed. Disappointing. This is so much more. And maybe you all don't realize this. This is so much more than who starts at quarterback for the Bucks this Sunday. Maybe some of you have thought about that. Maybe some of you haven't. The reason I have hoped Jameis Winston would be the quarterback we needed him to be without taking the easy bait and making fun of him and bashing him and tearing him down. As a fan, I just wanted a quarterback on my team to be successful. A quarterback that's 24. Because if this quarterback is not successful, where do the Bucks go from here? Now, I know where they go now. Fitzpatrick did his job perfectly as backup quarterback the first few games of the season. Got through a rough patch, won some games. Played efficiently, played great. Played better than Jameis Winston did. And maybe for this season, maybe for right now, Fitzpatrick is the better quarterback to go with. But this is so much more than 2018. The Bucks can say they're in a win-now mode, which is what Jason Light said when he first denied any interest in trading DeSean Jackson, who I think is a contributor in all of this as well. But this is the franchise itself, again, so much more than just who starts at quarterback this week, and honestly, so much more than who starts at quarterback, period, the rest of this season. The franchise is kind of imploding upon itself right now. See Quan Alexander go down with an injury. Now Ronald Jones is out with an injury. We've seen Brent Grimes out with an injury and this guy out with an injury. And Vita Vea almost tore his ACL and this and that. And it's just Vernon Hargreaves is out. We knew Dirk Cutter was going to be on the hot seat. We don't know if Jason Light is on the hot seat or not. We don't know if the move to Fitzpatrick is a move to try and save Dirk Cutter his job, or a move that the organization itself, head coach, GM, on up to the owners, is what they believe in. But when you have a career of statistics and different coaches and different schemes, and we've seen a pattern with Fitzpatrick. We've seen a pattern of greatness, which is why he got the nickname Fitzmagic. And we've also seen a trend of really bad quarterback play, which is why he's also earned the nickname Fitztragic. I know a lot of us only want to focus on the magic part, but go ask Jets fans and fans of other teams that Fitzpatrick has played for, and they will remind you that Fitzmagic can turn to Fitztragic very quickly. Fitzpatrick is 35 years old. He is not a long-term answer. He is a Band-Aid. But a Band-Aid to what? You have spoken. Get rid of Jameis Winston. Some of you are ready to cut him right now. Some of you are ready to trade him at the deadline, which, again, I don't know. I'll come back with a trade deadline update. But if that were to occur, who are you going to go with? Fitzpatrick? Ryan Griffin next year? Ryan Tannehill? Blake Bortles? Eli Manning? I mean, are any of those names going to build excitement inside of you? Not for me. Not for me. You've taken the bait. You've beaten him down. And quite frankly, if I was Jameis Winston, I don't even know if I'd want to play for this organization anymore. But like I said, it's far more than that. Okay, we've done it. We've torn our quarterback down. We're now going with a 35-year-old veteran who has played for X amount of teams, journeyman, you know, backup, starter, never really won anything. Okay, that's good. Now what? Coach is probably going to be fired. New coaching staff. You think a new coaching staff is going to want to inherit that 35-year-old journeyman backup quarterback who's now your starter? Not sure if you're going to attract any big-name coaches with that. You're probably not going to be in position to draft a highly touted quarterback this year. So are we looking to tank next year? Tank for Tua? See, this is why I wanted Jameis Winston to be successful. It was so easy to make fun of him, so easy to tear him down, so easy to boo him if he threw one bad pass. But now, everyone has spoken. They put pressure on the organization. I don't know what the answer is. That's why I'm kind of just, I'm at a loss for words. I don't know who the coach is going to be. I mean, we all see the writing on the wall. Unless Fitzmagic turns into Fitzmiracle and they go on a miraculous run the rest of this season, Dirk Cutter's likely going to be out. The entire coaching staff's going to be out. New scheme on offense, new scheme on defense. They can't keep anyone from the current coaching staff because they did that the last time. It's got to be a complete cleaning of house. Now, does that mean general manager in front office? Maybe, maybe not. You know, you guys, everyone knows what Dirk Cutter has done. Okay, you can see the record. You see how he's adjusted his offense this year. They've never invested in a running back. They've never invested in the run game from a coaching standpoint. The defense, he stood by his friend far too long. Lost him a lot of games last year. Lost him games this year. Not investing in a run game. Again, investing, I mean investing, wanting to go out, wanting to get veteran running backs, wanting to get talented running backs, wanting to call a balanced game plan. Just really hasn't been something Dirk Cutter has focused on, even though he's an offensive-minded coach last year or this year. That's good. Well, the Glazers wanted a high-flying offense. They got it. Unfortunately, so much was invested in a high-flying offense that we neglected parts of this team over the years. That is what wins you games and what wins you championships. Which leads us to Jason Light. Pros and cons across the board. You look at the roster now versus where the roster was when Jason Light took over. It is tremendously more talented. But they've essentially won the same amount of games that they did when Mark Dominic and Greg Schiano, Mark Dominic and Raheem Morris, Mark Dominic and whoever else, or maybe it wasn't Mark Dominic. No, then it was Jason Light. I mean, they're a losing franchise. From coach to coach to coach to GM to GM, it has been a loser. No matter what match they've made, it hasn't been the right one. Now, as I said with Light, you can see the pros and the cons. You can see players now as opposed to players drafted by Mark Dominic that could be here for the long term. You know, the Mike Evans, the Godwins, the O.J. Howards I think Carlton Davis is on a track to be a damn good football player. I saw somebody call MJ Stewart a bust. MJ Stewart's going to be good. I think he'll be good. I think he'll be a good depth piece and a versatile piece to this defense. Justin Evans has shown flashes. Somebody made a good point on the Facebook page, which has been rare recently. But somebody said, you know, they pointed to like the Darius Slays and some of these other young corners that have come into the NFL the last few years. And, you know, they come in as rookies. The corner's one of the tougher positions to come in and start right away. You're going to get beat. Carlton Davis really hasn't, but you know, some of these young corners haven't really hit their stride in the NFL until their second, third, or even fourth seasons. You know, we're casting judgment on these young corners the Bucs have drafted the last 2 years in their first or second season. You know, like I said, Hargraves came on, was playing well in that first game before he got injured. You know, we can see the natural talent that MJ Stewart and Carlton Davis have. I loved what I saw out of Kendall Beckwith last year. I hope he can match that this year. The energy Quan Alexander brings is great. I want him to be a more consistent football player, but definitely somebody who could be here long term. And as much as Derwin James looks great, and he does, Minkah Fitzpatrick looks good, he does as well. You know, we haven't seen much out of Vita Vea. I think another tough position, defensive tackle, to come in and just wreak havoc. You know, most defensive tackles don't come in and just explode onto the scene their rookie season. But at 6'5", 340, 350 pounds and can move the way he moves, you know, I think Vita Vea, long-term piece here. Ali Marpet. I've named a lot of players on both sides of the ball that are more long-term pieces than what Jason Light had inherited. Now, with that being said, you can point at a lot of misses in free agency, which there have been a lot. And you can point to a lot of misses in the draft. Obviously, the first one that people go to is the kicker in drafting Aguayo. I don't think that was his most glaring mistake. The Bucs were desperate for a kicker. There were teams rumored to be looking at Aguayo late second, early third. Remember the season before that, it was a clusterfuck. Remember they had Brinza, they had Patrick Murray who couldn't kick it further than 40 yards. I mean, it was a mess at kicker. So they invested a lot of time and thought that the most accurate kicker in college football history would be a good selection. And yet everyone freaked out because they took a kicker in the second round. But didn't the Bucs take Martin Gramatica in the third round? Oh, well. It didn't work. It was a huge risk where if it worked, it would have been a huge payoff. And it was a boom or bust type pick. It ended up being a bust. Not all picks are going to be home runs. But I don't think that was his biggest mistake. I look at third round. I remember third round when they took Charles Sims. They took Sims before Devontae Freeman went, drafted by the Falcons. Huge mistake. They took Sims before Gabe Jackson, right guard for the Raiders, was selected. What a piece that would have been. You talk about a young guard with Marpet, with Donovan Smith, building an offensive line. Nope, took Charles Sims, who has been horrible since the day they drafted him. Had some plays in his rookie season, but no. Scared. Might have been the same draft, might have been the draft after. Remember the draft that had all those defensive tackles, was loaded. You had a guy like Andrew Billings, who played against the Bucs against the Bengals this past weekend, going like the fourth or fifth round. Nah. The Bucks bypassed defensive tackle that entire draft, went into the next season, and suffered depth-wise at defensive tackle. Where if they drafted a defensive tackle that year, maybe they didn't have to draft a Vita Vea this year. And then they could have drafted a Derwin James or a Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, they start to fall on each other like that. And then, of course, like I said, with running back, Devontae Freeman, you had a chance to get any running back in last year's draft and just passed on all of them. All of them. Whether it was Hunt or whether it was Marlon Mack, who I believe Mack, they showed the last two or three weeks in the NFL is like leading the league in rushing yards per attempt and all this shit. I'm like, Marlon Mack, really? So Mack wasn't good enough for the Bucks. Hunt wasn't good enough for the Bucks. No running back has been good enough for the Bucks, except the guy from USC, McNichols, who was terrible. Charles Sims, who was terrible, and Ronald Jones, who we don't know. We don't know. You know, they throw his stats, they throw Ronald Jones' stats up on the screen, and it's like, well, this is what he's averaging per rush. Well, you didn't say that he has three rushes per game. We don't know. How do you establish yourself as a running back when you can't even run the fucking ball during a game? Falls on the coach, falls on the general manager. Jason Light has gone in off seasons focusing on one or two needs rather than building an entire roster. One off season, it was weapons for Winston. Yeah, I mean, it was, listen, this is fan speak, right? Okay, yeah, we need to get weapons for Winston. Yeah, that's the job of the general manager is to build a complete team. Yes, they need a wide receiver. Yes, they got O.J. Howard. Yeah, that was all good. That doesn't mean that you only limit yourself to those positions. Why aren't you trying to improve at corner when all these cornerbacks are available in free agency? Why aren't you trying to improve yourself at running back when all these running backs are available in free agency? Just this past offseason, you had Crowell, you had Carlos Hyde, you had the guy who went from the Vikings to the 49ers, whatever his name is. But you have all these running backs, and most of them signed for very affordable deals. And the Bucks were like, nah, we got Peyton Barber, we got Jaquizz Rodgers, and now we're going to draft a rookie who we're not going to play. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, Jason Light's not at fault. I wouldn't say he's the biggest culprit here, but he's not at fault. Now, as for Dirk Koetter, I struggle to identify how Dirk Koetter remains on as head coach when his sole reason for being hired as head coach was to develop Jameis Winston. Remember? Fire Lovie Smith, promote Dirk Koetter, because Dirk did such a great job with Jameis Winston, which, for some reason, we have never gone back to that offense that they had Jameis Winston's rookie season. Do you remember that offense? Do you remember how well they ran the ball? Do you remember how that opened up the play-action pass game? And do you remember how efficient Jameis Winston was as a rookie? Then all of a sudden, they're like, training wheels off, spread it out and throw it 50 times a game. Well, he's a gunslinger. Coming out of college, the whole thing on him was he's going to take some risks and he's going to throw some interceptions. If you're willing to accept that and have an offense and a team that can accept that, then you roll with it. All of a sudden, training wheels come off, they spread it out, they forget about the run game, and they just start launching all over the field. And guess what? He makes mistakes. Now, if we can't live with those mistakes, then we need to find a quarterback that won't make those mistakes. So who's that going to be? Fitzpatrick? Well, he's thrown a lot of interceptions in his career, but he is 35. Maybe the experience will teach him not to do that. But then again, we saw Fitzmagic turn to Fitzpatrick in the first half of that Steelers game, and then in the first half of the Bears game. that's what concerns me, is that, okay, we're going to go with Fitzmagic or Fitzpatrick, whatever you want to call him, and he's got the glasses and the beard and he looks cool. And what if he goes out and fails? Now what? Where do you go from here? It's a sad state of affairs. Because now we're not just talking about 2018. Now we're talking about an organization that has a decent nucleus. There's still a lot that needs to be done on the defensive line. And, oh, praise the Lord, Jason Pierre-Paul has 8 sacks on the season. What is he, 29? Is this team winning this year? Are they winning next year? Are they going to win next year? We don't know who the quarterback is. We don't know who the coach is. And we don't know who the general manager is. Yikes. The mob is growing restless. You should not be happy. Not with the quarterback play by itself, but how this organization is being run from the top down. Whether you like Jameis or not, whether you like Fitz or not, none of that matters. What matters is winning. And the problem is, away from the team, in seeing some of the pieces I missed on social media during and after Sunday's game, I personally have identified the individuals that care more about their opinion than the team. And I will remove those individuals from my social media. I urge you to do the same for your own. And maybe if you're like me, you start keeping track. That way, when they start coming back, when they start begging to be a part of this, the excitement again, you can remind them that their excitement is with them hoping their own opinion is right. Selfish individuals. That's not like it for me, and I hope it's not like it for you. We'll do a trade deadline recap. But this team, this organization, was once upon a time 2-0 and has fallen down such a steep hill so fast. Again, it's more than the record. It's more than just this year. This is all unraveling right before our eyes. And if they don't find a way to stop it, it's going to continue for the next 5 years. And as somebody who has already gone through the last 15 years, not sure I want to go through the next 5 years. Then again, I have the flu right now. And then again, I'll always be back. I guess that's a Bucks life. Trade deadline recap with what the Bucks did or didn't do. Next, this is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Cigar City Brewing, also one of the sponsors of Bucks Uncensored and the title sponsor for the Cigar City Brewing Bucks Uncensored Watch Party, which is happening this Sunday for the Bucks and Panthers at Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon. Whether you're in East Hillsborough County, up in Land O'Lakes or Lutz, Wesley Chapel, New Tampa, or all the way down to Sarasota, quick shot up 75. We want to get as many Bucks fans together for a big divisional game to see whether or not Fitzpatrick has enough Fitzmagic to keep the Bucks afloat this season. It all happens at Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon, and all thanks to Cigar City Brewing.
Bucks Uncensored.
Justin, since you had to give me that bad news at the start of the podcast, can you at least give me some good news now? Did the Buccaneers trade for anyone? Or at least, did they trade away some players and get some draft picks? I hope you give me some good news.
Bucks Uncensored. Uncensored.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Not surprising to me, and I'm not sure if it was surprising to you, but the Buccaneers made no moves at the trade deadline. This isn't new ground for Jason Light and the organization. They rarely make moves within the season. But for a team that has consistently said they are in win-now mode, to be outbid, if they were even bidding, on players like HaHa Clinton Dix, fourth-round pick, Dante Fowler Jr., third-round pick with a conditional fifth in 2020. Landon Collins, it was said that he could have been had for a second-round pick. The Bucks stood pat. They weren't buyers, they weren't sellers, but they are apparently in win-now mode. Of course they're in win-now mode. Why wouldn't Jason Light and Dirk Cutter say that? Their jobs are on the line. But see, the silence from One Buck Place on trade deadline day, deafening. You think the Glazers are going to allow their GM and their coach, who they don't even know is going to be here next year, to trade draft capital or players away, not knowing if they or somebody else is going to be the coach and general manager? What is that coach and general manager going to want? Whether it's Dirk and Light or somebody else and somebody else. Or somebody else in Light, or Dirk and somebody else. Most likely Dirk's out. Let's be honest. But when we're sitting here, again, what did I say a few weeks ago? It's not even November yet. It's not even November. And if the Bucks lose, granted, might already be over, but if the Bucks lose this Sunday against the Panthers and drop to 3-5, we can start talking about another Buccaneers season being over. Well, I guess that would be after November started. Jeez, are you kidding me? It's amazing. Let me just say this about the Bucks. 2019, you don't know who your quarterback is, you don't know who your coach is, and you don't know who your GM is. You have no clue. I have no clue. You have to have no clue. I have no clue. Nobody has a clue. That's not good. It's not good at all. So instead of crying or being angry, all I can do is laugh about it. And by the way, DeSean Jackson should have been traded at the deadline. And this whole thing is a mess. It's a mess. Dirk Cutter and Jason Light have let this entire thing get out of control again. Like, what is it? We have nobody that can come in and put the hammer down. And Schiano tried to, and it was like, meh, because there was no respect there. They have nobody in that building that I think the players and the coaches, and they don't have that leader that they respect. I mean, I don't have any inside information on this. I'm just going by all these different reports. And by the way, if there is some, and there is, between DeSean Jackson and Jameis Winston, one of the worst signings Jason Light might have made during his tenure in Tampa Bay might have been the signing of DeSean Jackson. He's paid him more than, what, $11 million a year. And it would not surprise me one bit if DeSean Jackson came in, got frustrated with Jameis Winston last year. We saw all of a sudden Jameis Winston was a different quarterback, then got injured, came back, played well the last four games, but it has not been the same. DeSean Jackson posted something, clearly a shot at Jameis Winston, on his Instagram page. I feel like DeSean Jackson single-handedly is in that locker room dividing it. And just like we all think Jameis Winston's dividing the fan, Jameis Winston's not dividing the fan base. The topic of Jameis Winston's dividing the fan base. I mean, his play, so is his play, so any player's play can divide the fan base? Whatever. I don't buy that. I do think that DeSean Jackson has divided the locker room, and I think that DeSean Jackson, because of what's happened in the locker room and how it's affected things on the field, I think it has had an effect on the division of the fan base. So, worst signing by Jason Light, he's had a lot of bad ones, but none have come in and completely imploded a franchise from inside out. And perhaps that's what DeSean Jackson has done. But hey, the Bucks are in win now mode. So don't get rid of somebody who's trying to tear it down from the inside. That's it for Bucks Uncensored. Cigar City. You got to be there. You got to be at Buffalo Wild Wings for our Cigar City Brewing Bucks Uncensored watch party. Does Fitzpatrick have enough Fitz magic to go to Carolina and keep the Bucks season alive? It happens Sunday. We are going to be at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon, Lakeland, East Hillsborough County, Land O'Lakes, Lutz, New Tampa, Wesley Chapel, down to Sarasota. Quick shot, up 75. We will see you, Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon, this Sunday. Let's be there. Let's get loud. Let's have fun together. Okay, we're not going to have a lot of opportunities like this the rest of the season, so let's make the most of the times we have to spend together. And I'll be fresh off of Halloween Horror Nights Saturday night. I think I'm going with Steve and Stacy. You've heard Steve on the podcast. The Outlaws, we're going to have a great time. So we'll go over to Orlando, we'll have fun at Halloween Horror Nights, then we'll come back and hopefully not be horrified by what the Buccaneers put on the field against the Panthers. Thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings, thanks to Cigar City Brewing, thanks to Mastro Subaru. Of course, thanks to B4. Drinkb4.com to avoid that hangover. And I don't know if you saw the pictures of me, but damn did I look good as Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. The only reason I look so good, I went to Christian at Headlines Barbershop, gave him a picture of Chris Pratt in the last Avengers movie, and he got that facial hair and my hair on point, looking good. Christian, Headlines Barbershop, they got locations all across the Bay Area. Get yourself the app. Get yourself a reservation, I guess. You know, sign up. Get there. Get your hair done right. You'll look good for this weekend. All right. And without further ado, oh, by the way, thank you to each and every one of you. Numbers are through the roof. We'll go right back into this. No. We are done speaking softly. And as I get my energy back, the speaking softly days, they're done. Instead, I'm going to just be carrying around this big motherfucking stick until things get done inside one Buck place. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.